Bob Bodine.
Why did Tom Ziegler have me follow him? Well, it's because we're gonna do something amazing, right? So some moments are made this way, that we have an aspect at the last second. You don't wanna ever think in your day that you're at some moment that wasn't meant for a specific time. And today, if you look, one slight change. That's really what he was talking about, just one slight change in his comedy act. That's what you're thinking. One slight change, huge results. But if you don't change, right? You stand still, nothing happens. That's just what goes. And so, you know, one of the things is this, Zig Ziglar, he did that all the time. I mean, Zig Ziglar was just so ridiculously fantastic. And he would constantly say things. And when I think about Zig, one of the things I've always thought is that he kind of like nudged you to try to get something going, to just do a little bit extra. Everybody nudge each other. Give him a little nudge. Now, can you imagine? There's no nudge here. You got to give him a nudge. There you go. Hey, listen to this. One of the things that Zig Ziglar would do, everybody look at everybody and go, you, go, you. That's it. That's what Zig does. It just starts. He starts talking about it. And he said, like, if you want to know what my secret is, you got to come up to me afterwards. This is where this whole thing is. And one of the things that he was really successful at was this. Dang, the redhead. Yes. Happy birthday, 29. Oh, my gosh. She just says, fantastic. Cannot get a more phenomenal, as Howard would say, a more amazing, positive, fantastic, life-giving force. Today I'm going to talk to you about three things. Everything starts with something. You can't light a fire without a spark. And finally, listen, you plus God, it's enough. It equals enough. It's just fantastic. So we're going to get right after it. So right off the bat is everything starts with something. And so the something is that you got to start to think to yourself that it's not as big as you thought. I was watching Michael kind of talk about comedy. He's just sitting in it. But as he was talking, he said something little happened, and then it shifted his life. I mean, I never thought I'd write two books. I didn't think I could write like a memo. Something little happened. Something little that comes in, and then all of a sudden, it's in your wheelhouse. You know, we can do little, can't we? And so somewhere along the line, you know, Zig said you don't have to be great, okay, to start, but you gotta really start to be great. And so we're gonna do some little things today. And so let's start something. Everybody stand up. We can control one thing. We're going to control something right now. Everyone stand up. And what we're going to do is we just want to start out with something. Introduce yourself to the people around you. Hold on. As if you don't care about them at all. Just totally diss them. Let's go. You don't care. Diss the person next to you. This is ridiculous. You don't like them. Nope. Not interested. Yeah, no, can't talk to you there. Wow, you know what? You know what that is? That, have you thought about that here? Has you thought about what that feels like? Well, that feels like Monday. That sometimes can think like Sunday at church. There's Tom at church. I hope he doesn't come over and talk to me. This is what we do. We make a choice in our days, everywhere,
while you're here that you came with a specific group of people, and I'm not going to do the little nudge with anybody else to get to know one other person here. I'm just going to stay within my little zone, and that's what I'm going to do. So this time what we're going to do is we're going to totally do it different. We're going to introduce ourselves to the people the Ziegler way. This time I want you to introduce yourself to the people around you as if they're your long-lost best friend. Let's go! Tommy Z!
Love you more.
Fantastic! Everyone can sit. Holy cow, what the heck? Everybody said, what the heck did we just do? You just let the energy in. I didn't say you could hug each other. What? So let me get this correct. We can come into places and choose how we nudge. We can decide that that's the attitude we're going to bring everywhere we go, or we're going to not do anything. So everything starts with something. And your first start is the energy. The energy between two people is what makes great marriages and families and corporations. This is what gets every great team in the country. It all starts with something. And the something is, everyone look at the person next to them and start going, you. That's it. This is what we're talking about. Somehow the answer somewhere along the line is we got to get a nudge. And so what happens is, a little also makes a big difference. So my dad, he liked to remind me that when I'm starting to try to find something big or something's troubling to me, he said that the greatest people in the country, what they do when they're down, when they're all of a sudden flat, when you don't know that I'm really like this, he turns and says that they do something that we haven't really thought about. They're actually starting to create something personally for them that gets them over the top. Zig wanted always to do that. It's, hey, it's more than, it's better than good. It's something bigger. And the answer is they seek out something that no one else is thinking about. And so I want to share with you a little story about that. So this is all of a sudden Arnold Palmer. How many people love Arnold Palmer? So this is Arnold Palmer. This is me back in 1973 with my Justin Bieber haircut. Arnold Palmer is one of the greats, but great people, us, sometimes get in trouble. 1973, he hooks the ball into the woods. It's the last day of the tournament. Okay, he's up by one. And all of a sudden, he's walking over towards us. He's up by one. We're on number 16. And we're in the woods. My dad and I are standing right there. My dad's trying to show me something. He says, look, it's Arnold Palmer. And I'm just like, we're beside ourselves. This is just the we love Arnie. We're like part of the army, Arnie's army. We're just like, we'll go and stalk him. And so here comes Arnie. And my dad says, look at him. And I go, what? And he goes, what do you see about him? It's Arnold Palmer. And he goes, he's not worried about being in the woods. Some people think differently. They see trouble as an opportunity in disguise, an opportunity for something epic to occur. But Arnold Palmer knows he's in trouble. The caddy sets down the bag. The caddy's looking at this and saying, Arnie, you'd have to hit this shot underneath this tree right there. You'd have to hook it left to a green that's tucked in tight with traps. Listen, this is an impossible shot. Hit a little wedge right out there. And so Arnold Palmer is like looking at this thing, and he's sitting and he's starting to waggle the wedge. Have you noticed that great people hate hitting little wedges right out there? They just don't like it. They have some, though, belief system in it, and he's a little bit bummed and down on the fact that his caddy wants him to hit the wedge. He needs something, and he sees something that I want you to see.
He all of a sudden is going to seek out something that all of us can do. We need to seek out some energy. So he wants to see who's here. And slowly he turns his head around, and my dad and I are standing right there. And he looks right at my dad, and my dad gives him the no sign on the wedge. The caddy goes, "I saw that! Don't listen to that man! Hit the wedge! Don't listen!" Arnie thinks that's funny. And so he starts to waggle the wedge again. He needs some more energy. He looks over, and my dad gives him the no sign again. He immediately goes and stalks over. Could he actually hit the shot? And he comes back, and he starts to waggle the forewood. Slowly, he turns his head. My dad gives him the yes sign. He barks at the caddy to get out. He sets himself up. Whew, he has a great thick little thing. Whew, it just takes off. It just clears under the tree. Boom! It turns like all of a sudden like a homing signal, and it bounces up 5 feet from the pin. The crowd is going crazy. Everyone is going nuts. Arnold Palmer saluting my dad, and the whole folklore of Arnold Palmer is all because of my dad. Energy! Now listen, where do you get your energy? What are you doing? There's so many times that there's going to be moments that just something hits you. You're in the woods. You need a song. Do you have that on your phone? Do you have a friend you call that is the person that your go-to person that looks and says, "No, it's not anything what you see. Things are better than that." We want to drive deep in this. There's a problem today. People don't have these friends to call. They haven't thought about their situation, and we can all of a sudden look at this. All Arnold Palmer needed was a little nudge. Everybody nudge each other. All Arnold Palmer needed was to look at someone like Zig Ziglar who's pointing at you, and you go, you. Here we go. It could be you who could all of a sudden do it. In every talk that I do, there's one person in the entire audience who has given me the juice that's all of a sudden so positive and it's just coming at me. And then I'm looking at some people and they're giving me the... And I'm thinking, where's that person? There he is. He's there. He is. Everyone, right there. There he is. Give him a hand. This guy's been sending me the juice. Listen to me. You, number two, hey, number one, hey, you had to start something. Number two, though, this is one of my favorite Bruce Springsteen things. Just, you can't start a fire without a spark. How many people have ever heard of like Newton's, you know, like cradle? Anybody heard that? Yeah, of course you haven't. Sure you have. Here it goes. This little thing, it beeps over here. It comes back. It does it. It's this little bumping cradle. But what's so fantastic is it totally gives you a perspective of what I wrote in the book called The Power of Who. What if each of us were given specific people in our lives to help us? What if these people weren't happenstance? What if they were strategically given to give you such a boost, such a thing to find that dream, that goal, that something? What if finding that dream isn't about these people that we keep trying to network with, which is not working? That we're going to go out and meet another 1,000 people. When you were given some specific people to help you, and they're right up close to you, and yet we're not going to do that because we don't like to ask the people around us. And so the first thing does is it bumps. Look at that. There it goes, bumps. The three in the middle don't move, but something happens on the backside, and it's something supernatural. The inside is your friends and your family. It's all of a sudden your mentors and your coaches. These are people who we just don't like necessarily always to ask. We kind of want to do all this stuff on our own. But listen, your friends and family were created to do this for you. And so what happens is they bring a spark, right? They bring a... Hold a second. Let's get back. They bring this spark, right? This energy. When you show up, when you go where you're supposed to be, when you're all of a sudden doing it, you're at the funeral. You know it's 200 miles away. You're at the birthday party that you said you were going to go to, but you decide to show up. You have no idea the impact that all of a sudden it's doing. When you just say, hey, I'm going to try one more time, all of a sudden does this. And it works especially good when you have goals and dreams and all this other stuff. Everybody wants. But we don't do that. And why? Because this cradle is that it takes a movement. But if you bring nothing to anything, you get what? Nothing. Your job is to bump. You didn't come here by chance. Your job is to bump other people, to actually stop and tell someone, you look fantastic today. You could do something great. You listen, how are you? And you really mean it. You're actually talking to them. You're having a conversation. You're actually deciding that I came for a purpose and a reason to do something and get it. So let's just like create a spark here. Everybody get out your phones. Get out your phones. What we're going to do is we're gonna do something fantastic. So who's your best friend?
By name or?
Your best friend.
Her name?
Yes.
Argina.
Is she living in your town?
Yes.
Fantastic. Who's your next best friend?
Ani.
Ani. Are you married?
Yes.
He's not your best friend?
No.
Straight out no. The answer is, yes, we want that. Who's your best friend?
My wife.
Ah, hey, said like a true gentleman there. That was very good. Okay, and then who's your best friend in your town?
Matt.
Matt, okay. So who's your best friend?
My husband.
Yeah, good job. Who's your best friend that you now talk to about all the stuff that you can't tell him?
My friend Sue.
Sue.
I tell him everything.
Yeah, but if you, no, you got to have friends though. We need friends. So what's your girlfriend?
Sue.
Sue, is she living in your town?
No, she just moved away.
She did. So who's your next best friend that's going to be there?
Sharon.
Sharon, who's yours?
Carlos.
Is he live in your town?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then who?
Fernando.
Fernando, who's yours?
David.
Hey, first off. You rock. I already got that. I already like you. Get up here. I want a hug. Man, and he's tall and he gave a hug. That was so good. What's your buddy?
David.
David. Fantastic. Who's yours?
Michael.
Michael. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Okay, who's yours?
Lisa, my favorite
Lisa.
Wife.
Fantastic. Then who? Who's your buddy?
Rick.
Hey, Alan, who's your buddy?
Gary.
Okay, who's your buddy?
Elena.
Okay, who's your buddy? Fantastic. Who's your buddy?
Gordon.
Okay, Gordon. So listen, what we're going to do is we're going to text message our best friend. Everyone's going to do it. I'm going to tell you what you can say. Now, some people have played this game, and I don't care, because the game gets better the more you do it. The more you bump, the more you go, this keeps getting wild. But you cannot send it, if you have played the game, to anybody you ever sent it before to. You can't send it to anybody in the room. You're going to send one text message, and then you're exactly as I say it, and then you're going to hold select all and copy it. And then if you're over 50, then you can ask the person next to you who's young how to do that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to send this out to 4 or 5 other people. Here's what we're going to say. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your friendship. I love you. So this is what we're going to send. We're sending it first to our best friend or buddy, and then what we're going to do, and then we're going to send it to our wife. We're going to send it to our kid, some of our kids. We're never sending it to someone who you think the other person is there at the same spot. And then we're going to individually do it. It's not a group message. So do one real quick, copy it, and send the first message. And then I want you to send like to your son. I want you to send to someone who you've kind of lost a relationship with, that all of a sudden it's become awkward and you haven't talked to them in a while. I want you to send it to, if you have, you know, this really works unbelievable, like for a second, if your mom or your dad or you haven't talked to your dad or you haven't done something, we're going to send out that message. So start ripping that. Send the first message and start, I want to send to 4 other people while we're talking. And then you're all going to stand up and tell us what they said. It's just a fantastic game. Start ripping. How many people, have anybody got a message already? So what happens in this game is it goes so quick and it's so great. So we're doing this all the time, and these are the 3 most affirming lines you can say to someone. I'm thinking about you. I appreciate you. 4 people. I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your friendship. I love you. So what happens is, if you send this to your mate, you have a 94% chance that she sends back or he sends back, "Did you mean this for me?" If you send it to a buddy, okay, you have a really good shot. Are you drunk? Are you okay? They're going to start to send it. But I have done this with over 850,000 people now, and all the messages, what we're doing is we're bumping them. And it's going to start to change, and it starts to become wild. Okay, so who's got a message already back? Somebody's getting in the thing. So here we go. Stand up. What's your name?
Matt.
Send it to your wife. What'd she say?
She said, "LOL, I love you, boo."
Oh, fantastic. Good job right off the bat. Okay, hey. What'd you get? Okay, what'd you get?
Suzanne said to tell you hi.
Oh, good. Hey, how are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good. What'd you get? Stand up. What's your name? Emery?
Emery.
Okay, who'd you send it to?
My wife. She said, "Love you too," with an emoji.
Emoji sign. Do you know that men don't get a lot of emoji signs? Women do. Over there, stand up in that there. Here we go. Here we go. What'd you get? Who'd you send it to?
My wife. Is this one of your conference exercises?
Fantastic. So, I can promise you that in your conference exercises, you hadn't been sending that. And what I want you to do is you're responding and say, "No, I meant this for you." I want you to say, "No, I meant this for you." People are going to ask you all over, and they're going to say, "Why did you send this letter? Why did you send this note?" And you're going to say, "Hey, I met this guy. He's a crazy guy. He said if I said these three lines, who would I choose to send it to? I chose you." And then he wanted me to go deeper. Here we go. Who's next? Yep.
"Thanks for being my best friend, Dad. I love you too."
Fantastic. Yeah.
"Friend in Nigeria said thanks. I needed that."
Thanks. I needed that. Did she say the L word back? No, we say, "Where's the love?" That's what you say. "Where's the love?" Now, what we're going to start to find here is this. It's very hard for the people who you love don't understand the word friendship. The people who are your friends don't understand the word love. And so we're going to get them to say the L word. Because if you can't say the L word, then what's going to happen is you're going to start to do it. Here we go.
"Love you more."
Love you more. Fantastic, yeah.
She said, "Thank you. It's nice to open my phone and see something so sweet written from you. I love you too and so thankful for our amazing friendship."
So someone in the room has gotten a message saying, I needed that. Okay, that this is all of a sudden came in a moment in a struggle for them and they needed it. Who is that person? Someone's getting it. Yeah. Who's next? Who else had? Yeah.
"Thanks, buddy. Back at you."
Yeah. "Where's the love?" Write that. "Where's the love?"
"Back at you."
No. Did he say the L word?
No, but.
So what happens?
"Where's the love?"
No. So the game is that we're not really doing this game specifically in a process to actually just get someone like we need them to say it to us. We want them to be able to say it. This is where this is. It's a struggle. Yeah.
Said, "Thanks, brother. Love and appreciate you too. Life would be much worse without you."
That's so good.
Yeah.
"Much worse without you." Yes.
"It's funny you reached out. I was thinking of you the other day and was going to call you that got tied up everything going well with you and your retirement days."
Where's the love? Write that. Where's the love?
I don't know.
No, you're going to write the word. Where's the love? He's got to tell you. You said, what we say is, we're saying three specific things. "I'm thinking about you." What'd he say?
"Love you, bro."
"Love you, bro." Back up and here again. Yes.
He's going to send me back the same thing he did.
Some people are going to call you while we're here. We're not answering those either. Yeah, what you get?
"This is from my analytical chemist husband."
Yes.
"Nothing for any reason."
Yes. Ah, give me a hug. Where are you, Ben? Okay, who's next? Yeah. Hold it. His father-in-law. What'd he say? Oh, fantastic. There's not a lot of father-in-laws do that. Yeah.
"I have mine, and I sent to somebody, my mother,
took all friendship and just said, I appreciate you. And she said, I love you, honey, more than you will ever know.
So there's something about the specific words that we're talking about here is this. I'm trying to say that our best friends should be our family and the people closest to us. We have to say, you're my best friend. I got to tell you, I love you. That's what we're supposed to do. We were created to do that. God said that there's no greater love than to give your life, to lay down your life for a friend. Then that had to be that the facet is that friendship is the greatest love. That's why God, when he says you get to be with him, he calls you his what?
Friend.
This is the thing. What'd you get?
My sister-in-law said, ah, day made. Glad God put you in my life. I love you too. And then my mom responded, super.
We're not letting your mom get away with that. You're going to say, where's the love, mom?
Okay.
Who? Yeah. Stand up. What's your name?
Les. I have two brothers from another mother, and we do this all the time. And he says, likewise, love you too, brother. And my other one that I said it to sent me back a wink. And this is the greatest advice that I've ever gotten given from somebody to send that. And I do it all the time. I love it. It's made such a difference because I'm alone. I don't have family, you know, within 5,000 miles of me. And this just moves me, touches me, and makes me cry just thinking about the love of another person.
That's fantastic. So the other day, I'll tell you quick two stories. And so a guy stands up at a mortgage banking meeting, and his mom says that, he says that his mom's in the hospital and has 6 months to live. And so he sends the note, and she says, oh, my gosh. I mean, I get so many of these, but there's some that are just so touching. And she says, oh, my gosh, son, I'm looking out the hospital window, and I'm in here by myself, and you sent this to me. She said, if I could tell you how much I love you from the highest mountain in Switzerland, I love you, echo, echo, echo. And then he just sits down and cries. And then 6 days later on Facebook, he finds my message to me and he says, my mom passed away today. What if I hadn't sent the text? So when my nephew, who was 24, who was a stud, who was dueling pianos, got all of a sudden a little bit off and got into a drug or something, and committed suicide, I thought to myself, wouldn't I want to send a note? What was I thinking? That you and I could nudge our friends and tell them and our sisters, people who we say, oh, they know I love them. Yeah, I know. Who doesn't want to still hear that? I do. I mean, the older I get, the more I want my three daughters and my three grandkids to say it to me. And I can't do it enough. When I say it to my oldest daughter, she says, oh, Daddy, I love you. And so she goes, and my middle says, hey, I said, hey, did I tell you today that I love you? And so she says, you just did. And so my youngest says, no, you didn't. Call me. We have all different love languages. But this language, this one, we should be able to send this as a nudge to hundreds of people to tell them how much we care about them. The answer is, all the time that I go out into speeches, some people will get all tied up, like, this is going to be so awkward saying I love you, and I'm not going to do it, I'm this and this. I get them to do it, and then the message comes back totally the opposite. Sat with, like, Moose Johnson of the Cowboys, and we're sitting at a restaurant, and so I said, hey, let's just play the game. And he says, okay. He says, did, like, my wife tell you that I don't have any friends? And I said, no, she didn't tell me that. I said, hey, send the thing. And so he says, who do you want me to? I said, send it to your wife, send it to your this. He goes, I'm going to send it to my three linemen. This is just not going to be good, I can promise you. I can tell you this. The wife comes back and says, oh, my gosh, she said, did you mean this for me? And then she comes back, another silly. And then the first one comes in from his buddy. And he goes, oh, my gosh. And so I can just watch now as he starts to read. And his eyes start to cry. And he looks and he goes, so you're there. You've been there for me during the fact that they told me I got onset of dementia. So you're there. You're not letting me go. You care about me. You just did this. The next one comes in, and now Moose is just like uncontrollably crying. He doesn't know what to do. So men, we can like hold back for so long, and then we just start blubbering, and we just don't want to do it, and we just can't say it. And so he stands up, and I thought he was walking away, and he just came around to me and sat in front of me at the restaurant and said, okay, so I'm going to need a hug. And then we just hugged. Listen, all of us need a hug. Every single person in here needs to be told. You need to tell your husband, your mate, I don't care how many conferences we go to. We need to tell them we love them, that you are beautiful, that you make my life better. It's just fantastic that you make everything for us. This is a small little bump. That's all it is. We're just bumping the people around us because we care about them. When we die, we're not going to go up and talk about our conferences. We're not going to talk about how much money we made. We're not going to talk about stuff. What we're going to talk about is, did you love the people I gave you? I gave you some specific people first. That's what the Power Who's about. First is your 12 friends, your 3 close, your 1 best. And then we can start to grow out from there. Everything happens out of that. Listen, it doesn't matter how much you love someone. It matters if they know it. You plus God. That's my final. Listen, this is overwhelming. So I wrote a book called 2 Chairs. 2 simple chairs. And in the same way when I wrote The Power Who, that we shouldn't be out networking. We've been taught all our life, like in business, that friends in business are taboo. So let me get this correct. We're supposed to work with people we don't know and don't trust? I mean, the whole concept of networking is ridiculous. And here it is. We do the same with God. We talk at him. We sit down and we pray. We do devotionals. That's all fantastic. I hope you do it more. But you know, when I do a great devotional, at the end of the time, I'm really like totally bummed that that person is actually having a great conversation with God that I'm not. So I had time when I just came to my mom and said, hey, so what should I do? And my mom said, so, you know, I'm talking about goals and dreams. And she's, you know, talking about what do I do in times of trouble? We all have trouble. The trouble never ends, does it? I mean, dang, it just never ends. And if it's not you, it's my daughter's. And if it's not my daughter's, dang, it's something else. I mean, by the time I just finished right shoulder replacement surgery, my wife just last week had a neck, disc replacement. Why don't she just beat us up? And so their trouble happens. But in this world, we're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. Bump other people. So the answer is, my mom said, hey, listen, I don't have the answers to the questions on you. Can I ask you 3 questions? I said, okay. And she goes, do you think God knows your situation? Yeah. And she goes, not only does he know, but he wants you to know he knows. The highest priority in times of crisis is to get your mind above it. The highest thought is God. I mean, God doesn't have like 6 telephone lines for 7 billion people. He's not like only working on ISIS, heart attacks, and natural disasters. He's thinking about you. He's bumping you. You've been bumped today already on him. So she says, hey, is this too hard for him to handle? No. But it is too hard for us to handle. Does he have a plan? Yes. She goes, what is it? I have no idea. 2 chairs. What if there's a 1% chance that tomorrow morning you'd set up 2 chairs? You got chairs? Yeah, dang. I don't care if it's like beanbags. What if the guy who created the whole world would actually meet you? Would you go? If there's a 1% chance, I mean, dang, if I got you Warren Buffett to come and talk about your financial planning, for sure you're going to be up early. But what if the guy who created the whole world would do this? So let me finish, and I want to tell you a story that happened Sunday. So when I was at 2 chairs, this is what amazingly happens. He talks. He shares things. The night before, all of a sudden, my daughter, who does beautiful pictures, this is what she does. She takes beautiful pictures. She's a teacher at a high school, and she takes beautiful pictures, and look at those beautiful blue bonnets. And then all of a sudden, I hear that while she was taking pictures, she had just lost a bunch of weight, and her diamond ring flew off in the blue bonnets. And she searched everywhere for it, and she was totally in despair. And so she's telling my wife, she's not telling me. Her husband's kind of like, he's been out in midst of transition for his own job, so that they're thinking finances, they're thinking trouble. There, she's overwhelmed. This is her diamond ring. She doesn't know what to do. The next day she's sick. And so that next day she's sick, and then she calls me that night, that morning. You know what I'm talking to God about? I'm talking about the blue bonnets. I'm talking about the ring. I'm talking about bumping someone else except for what I have about me. And so I immediately go and say to her, hey, she's totally dead. I don't know what to do. And I said, hey, tomorrow morning, you go to school. School's out. I'm going to go rent 2 metal detectors. Can you do that? I go, I don't know. I've never done it. And so I said, I bet. And so I found it at Lowe's. And so I got 2 metal detectors, little 3-pounders. And I said, we're going out to the field. And this stuff that's just been beating the tar out of our family, it's stopping at the ring. We're going to go find that ring. We get out there. This is what it looks like. Holy cow. I look and I pray with Jenny and I go, so Jenny, hey, listen. I was up at 2 chairs. We're finding the ring. We're going for it. On the way in, I'm talking to a client. He turns. I'm telling the story. He goes, well, it's just a great story, even if you don't find it. Listen to me, Clyde. We're finding the ring. We're not like talking. I'm not hearing that. And so we go and search. I'm walking around looking for it. And all of a sudden, for 9 minutes, there's no sound. There's no, like, I'm wondering if it does it work. I go on and I put it on or like some metal thing. I throw down something. It goes beep. Okay, 9 minutes. We're going all around. And then beep. Beep, beep, and I go, and it says, look. Wow. Okay. She just burst out into tears. She just started crying. We started jumping with each other, just stopping everything, thanking God that he would care about the little that was so big to her. I don't care about a lot of stuff. Not really big into all about the fact of trying to tell you something about the books and all the stuff, etc. You know, God does all that. I don't have to do it. The answer is, this is not about the power of Bob and 3 chairs. I don't get to go. It's just you two. But this was a moment, and it happens every day at 2 chairs. Now listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Zig always talked about this. I'm not shy about talking about it. The answer is, listen, you got to be a prayer warrior. We got problems. How many people know one person in trouble right now? Raise your hand. Holy cow, we need to bump them. How many people have somebody that they know who's in the midst of a divorce? Raise your hand. Okay, dang it, we're in deep trouble. How many people have known someone close to their family who has committed suicide? Raise your hand. Look at the room. We've got to stop and start bumping. And that's why, listen, I started Who Friday. Who Friday? On Fridays. Tomorrow is what?
Friday.
We started it after lunch. Our whole firm stops and takes the day off and calls our friends and says, hey, how can I help you? Do you know that Friday just all of a sudden was like the law of reciprocity is so big with God is that that became like our biggest day of business. We never asked for business. God works that way. Help people. Bump them. Who does that? Zig does that. What's he say to you? You. Here we go. What did we say?
You.
That's what it is. This is the day. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's a day that when you wake up, you text some people. You start and say that it starts with something. Who?
me. And then, hey, I'm going to light a fire. How? I'm going to spark it. I'm going to bump it. And then I'm going to be at my two chairs. I'm going to say to him, whether I know it and I believe that he's there or not, I don't have anything and I don't care. The answer is, you set up two chairs at some ridiculous chair, and guess what happens? You better buckle up, because the guy who created the whole world loves you. Thank you so much. God bless you.